We're very thankful that Brother George and Sister Ruth both could be with us this weekend. It's by the Lord's overruling providence that I believe that that was permitted. We're particularly thankful to have Brother George serving us at this time. And he has selected for his subject 3,690 years. 3,690 years. Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Wesley. Again, we'd like to express our appreciation to our Heavenly Father and to the dear ones here in the Collinsville Ecclesia for permitting us to meet together this weekend. Truly, our Heavenly Father has blessed us. We're now going to be favored by listening to Sister Anna and Sister Karen sing Amazing Grace.
Thank you. This morning, Brother Larry McClellan referred to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. May we read that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the ease and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. After the service this morning, I approached Brother Larry to thank him. I mentioned after listening to this scripture that I was reminded of the scripture referred to yesterday in James, about the mirror. Here we have another mirror, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This, by the way, belongs to Brother Larry. I gather that he had considered using it and did not. He offered it to us to use at this time. So let us remember this mirror, looking unto Jesus. The month of October is a very important one. In the year B.C. 2, around the 1st of October, our Lord was born into this world. In the fall of the year, 1874, our Lord returned to Earth's atmosphere. Seventy-four years ago, about this time of the year, the author of Studies in the Scriptures finished his earthly course. We think that this is a significant month. In opening, we sang what we have heard to be his favorite song, The Lord, a Sun and Shield. Before beginning our subject of 3,690 years, we're going to focus in a little more on yesterday's lesson. You recall that the scripture in James 1:22 was brought to our attention. In part, we read, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It was emphasized that we must have a perfect heart intention. We can't do perfectly while we have this treasure in the earthen vessel. We must, however, have a perfect heart intention. Our Heavenly Father is not only just, but he is an exact timekeeper. Brother Randall, will you point across from Paradise Lost to Paradise Restored, noting that this is an exact time? You went just a little too far. We would go from right there over to the end of the Messianic Age. Very good. Thank you. That's a period of 7,000 years. This is an exact period, we believe. What would happen if the sun came up this morning at a certain time and tomorrow morning an hour later? Our God is an exact timekeeper. We also emphasize that he is a God of justice. To illustrate this point, since I'm in the advertising business, I'm acquainted with the fact that there is much injustice in connection with printing calendars, pens, etc. Some companies have a policy of printing just the exact number ordered. However, many companies have a policy of having an overrun. Suppose now that I sell an order of calendars of 100 to a customer. He has shipped 105 calendars. Now, Brother Randall, if you'll just multiply a dollar times 5, it doesn't seem very much, does it? However, now multiply that by 1,000 orders.
What by a thousand?
The $5 by a thousand.
This right here.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I can do that, brother.
We tried to make it simple.
$5,000, right?
Yes. $5,000. Now, it doesn't seem like it's very much just for an overrun of five calendars, does it? It's these things that make us long for the kingdom. There is much injustice in the world. In the days of the pastor, we have read how that some of the companies that did the printing would short the brethren of the number of tracts or whatever printed. Let's suppose that we ordered some books. We ordered 100 of these books at $1 each. They didn't send but 99. That's just a dollar's difference, isn't it? But now multiply $1 times 1,000 orders. And that's $1,000, isn't it? As I said, we tried to make it very simple. See what we're trying to prove? Sometimes something that doesn't seem very much can add up very fast. Now let's come to a convention. The brother is scheduled to speak from 10 to 11. He doesn't stop until 11:05. That doesn't seem too much, does it? 5 minutes over. Then we add the time of the hymn and the prayer, another 5 minutes. So we have 10 minutes. I think at this convention we had maybe 150 or 170. I'm not sure how many were in at any one time. So let's multiply, Brother Randall, 150 times 10. 150 times 10, then, would give us 1,500 minutes. Brother Randall, now let's see how many hours this is. Divide 60 into 1,500. You see how the little things don't seem to be too much until we really analyze. How many hours of consecrated time for the fellowship period of time had been used? Okay, another one. Let's suppose that the meeting has started 5 minutes late. So now we can take a shortcut this time, Brother Randall, and if five is just half of the 10, so we had 25 hours. If we start the meeting 5 minutes late, we're taking up 12 and a half hours, half of the 25. I hope these simple illustrations will stick with us. Now, I'm not stressing this from the standpoint that we have to be just exact and formal and strict. That's not the thought. Sometimes it may be necessary to run over a minute or so. Let us keep in mind, however, the importance of our Heavenly Father being an exact timekeeper. May we also strive to emulate Him. Often we use the expression about redeeming the time, buying back the time. How can we do this? There are many ways that we can redeem the time. Let's consider one. It takes us a lot of time to get dressed every morning, doesn't it? Now, what are we thinking about while we're getting dressed? We can pray. We can meditate. That's buying back the time, redeeming the time. Let's suppose that it takes us 10 minutes to get dressed. It takes me a lot longer than that. But let's say it takes 10 minutes to get dressed. And Brother Randall, there are 365 days. We'll round it off in a year. So 10 times 365 days would be 3,650 minutes. Now, how many hours a year would this be of redeeming the time?
60.8. You want me to work it out, Brother George?
I'm coming up with a different answer. Okay, we'll leave it there. I'm sure you're right, Brother Randall.
Is it right?
But anyway, we'll check this out later. I can't do it right now. The thought we're pursuing is that we can really redeem a lot of time each year, buy back the time. Before beginning our subject proper, I have a little quiz for you. So on the back of your handout, I want you to write the answers. 5 questions. I trust that you will use this handout to mark the dates which will be presented. Are you ready for the first question? Give us the date of the death of Jacob. Brother Randall, you can point this out on the chart. The death of Jacob is number 2. The second question, give us the date of the death of Jesus. This is number 4. The third is, what was the date when it was time to give a message of comfort to natural Israel? Number 4, give the number of years from the death of Jacob to the time that it was important to give a message of comfort to Israel. The number of years from the death of Jacob to the time when a message of comfort went forth to natural Israel. Number 5, and here on your chart, we'll use the typewritten numbers down at the bottom. We have 7,000-year days there. On what 1,000-year day did Jesus die? The answers, number 1, 1813 B.C. If you put 1812 B.C., that's acceptable. Number 2 is 33 A.D., Number 3, 1878. Number 4, 3,690 years. Number 5, the fifth day. However, the third day would be acceptable if you're thinking from the time of Jacob. So we give you some leeway in there. How many made 100? Perhaps then the lesson on 3,690 years will be of importance to each one of us. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 18. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Notice particularly verse 18. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have failed mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Here the prophet Jeremiah foretold that Israel would be scattered and gathered again. On your handout, Brother Randall, point out again number 2, the death of Jacob. Write the year 1813 B.C. That is number 2. That is the number 2 up at the top. That was the year of the death of Jacob. That double began to count in the spring of the year. This is the reason why that I said 1812 would be acceptable, because sometimes that date is used. But keep in mind that 1813 B.C. in the spring until the spring of the year 33 A.D. would be your 1845 years. 1845 years. That was the period of favor to natural Israel. Jeremiah then is telling us that through prophecy that Israel would be scattered and gathered again. Brother Randall, point out number 8. And on your handout, write the year 1878. Across from 1813 until 33, make some indication that that's 1845 years. Then from 33 A.D., which is number 4, until number 8, make an indication that that is also 1845 years. May we go to another prophet. This time, we will go to Zechariah. We shall read verses 9 through 12. Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. We note from this prophecy that the prophet Zechariah is speaking as though he lived at the time of the first advent. So Brother Randall point out the time there of Christ's offering, which is 33 A.D. We recall how that shortly before his crucifixion, he rode into the city. The people proclaimed him king. Again, we repeat then that Zechariah is speaking as though he lived at the time of Christ's offering. Now we go to another prophecy. This is perhaps more familiar to us, Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Here we need the date 1878. Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare, in the margin it reads appointed time, is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So here we have, we'll use the Bible to illustrate it, 1845 years of favor to Israel, then a period of 1845 years of disfavor. Concerning this favor to natural Israel, in Amos we read, speaking of Israel, you only have I known or recognized of all the families of the earth. From the death of Jacob then, to the death of our Lord was a period of favor. As long as the Israelites were obedient, they were blessed. When they were disobedient, they were punished for the purpose of correcting them, bringing them back into harmony. When our Lord came to them in 33 A.D. as a king, shortly before his crucifixion, they rejected him. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We shall begin with verse 11. He, that is our Lord, came unto his own, the natural descendants of Abraham, and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. They crucified him, as we have noted, in 33 A.D. Continuing, but as many as received him, there were a few Israelites indeed. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. The subject of tentative justification and vitalized justification, as is shown on the chart, is sometimes not understood. Even though that is not particularly related to this subject, may we just for the moment briefly note how the chart shows justification. Brother Randall, point out plane P, which is below N. There you might write that this is typical justification. Now, plane N, during the gospel age, is the time of tentative justification. It is not vitalized until one does what? Makes a full, unreserved consecration. At the moment that one presents his body a living sacrifice, he is spirit begotten, plain M, and hence that justification is vitalized. Go over now to the holy. We note that this one who has made a full consecration is justified to life by faith and is begotten of the Spirit, he enters into the holy of the tabernacle. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Back to John 1:2, we note that there were a few of the natural descendants of Abraham who were in the proper heart condition. These were begotten of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now again, let's put down that date. What year was Pentecost? And that was also number 3 or 33 A.D. That was the year of the brethren, the Jewish brethren, receiving the Holy Spirit. We go 3.5 years later, and that is number 5. That's when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. The reason why the Gentiles have this opportunity is that not enough of the natural descendants of Abraham accepted our Lord and hence did not become sons of God. In Isaiah 40, 1 and 2, we noted that Isaiah stands beside us in 1878. Now, that has been fulfilled. History reminds us that in the year 1878, there was a congress or conference called the Berlin Congress of Nations. This is a matter of review to most of us. However, for those who are not aware of it, may we note that the leading figure, the central figure at this congress, was a Jew, the Prime Minister of England. That was overruled by the Heavenly Father. Remember that for a period of 1845 years, the Jews had been trodden down. So here, a Jew was on the scene at the proper time. Turn with me now to Genesis, the 42nd chapter. We'd like to read verses 14 through 18. Genesis 42, 14 through 18. To get the setting, this is the time that the brethren of Joseph came down to buy grain. And Joseph said unto them, "This is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth thence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, "The third day, this do and live, for I fear God." Why were they put in prison for 3 days? We believe that it is significant. Now, on your chart, you notice that the typewritten numbers down at the bottom show the 7,000 years. The chart is not drawn to scale. We note that Jacob and his sons lived on the 3,000-year day from the fall of Adam into sin and death. So down here on the third day, write some important names there: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. As we have seen, at the death of Jacob, 1813 B.C., favor began with natural Israel. Then in 33 A.D., the third day from the death of Jacob brings us down to that the time when they rejected our Lord, the period of disfavor started. They were in prison, so to speak. How many days? 3 days. Parts of 3 days. So in some way on your chart, note that natural Israel was trodden down. They were hated. They were persecuted. During a part of the fifth day, all of the sixth day, and the early part of the third day, or the seventh day. We're going slowly. We're emphasizing, you see, how that our God is such an exact timekeeper. Suppose that the millennial age had not started until 10 years later. We could run into trouble, you see, when we would start changing the dates that are so clearly brought to our attention in the Scriptures. May we also, while we're in Genesis, turn to chapter 47, verses 1 and 2. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And notice this particularly, verse 2. You may want to highlight in your Bible. "And he took some of his brethren," how many? "Even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh." Why didn't he take all of his brethren? It was thrilling when I noted that he took 5 of his brethren. He would be the 6th one of the sons of Jacob. Does that remind you of a parable which has long been misunderstood? Turn with me to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16, we shall begin with verse 19. There was a certain rich man. We've seen that this certain rich man is brought to our attention in Amos 3:2 as being Israel. They were rich with the promises of God. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. They were blessed during that period of 1845 years. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. When Israel rejected our Lord in 33 A.D., persecution began. The opportunity to become the natural, or rather the opportunity to become the spiritual seed of Abraham went to the Gentiles, as well as any in Israel, of course, who were in their proper heart condition. And so in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, we note that primarily the seed of Abraham is Christ. In verse 29, Paul tells us, "And if ye be Christ," that is, if we have come in under this one anointing of the Spirit, if we have buried our wills into the will of God, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In verse 23, we read and inhale. The margin reads Hades, which, as we know, is the death state, oblivion. "He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Yes, the Gentiles were offered this opportunity of becoming heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Whereas the ones who had rejected our Lord were in torment, so to speak, for parts of 3 days, 1845 years. Then skipping down to 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What was this great gulf? There was this exact period of time, 1845 years, which must be fulfilled before it would be time to extend comfort to Israel. Now, notice continuing, verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have how many brethren? How many brethren did Joseph take in before Pharaoh? I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them. Yes, this rich man would correspond to Joseph and 5 others. That's 6. Each one representing 2 tribes. 6 times 2 equals 12. The 12 sons of Jacob. Did this just happen by chance? We believe not. Turn with me now to Hosea, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the 3rd day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. What does this mean? Again, Brother Randall, point out the year that it was time to speak comfort to Israel. And on your chart with the numbers down at the bottom, note that the 2 days would be in between 5 and 6 and 6 to 7. Mark that somehow to note the 2 days here. Hosea 6:2, after 2 days, when would Israel be revived? In the 3rd day. And where are you going to mark the 3rd day on your chart? Sometime after number 7. Number 7 in both cases. In this case, the number 7s are the same each place. You see, number 7, the small number 7, is 1874, and the large 7 down at the bottom is also 1874. Sometime after number 7, then, is the 3rd day. How long is a day with the Lord? 1,000 years. What day started? Brother Randall, point out the Messianic Age, when it started and when it will close. Yes, thank you. So 1874, mark that on your chart, and 1,000 years later would bring us to what? 2874. What would happen on the 3rd day? Let's read the prophecy again. After 2 days, Israel would be hated, persecuted. There was this great gulf between. They would still have some more experiences. But on the 3rd day, they would be raised up. 70 years later, after 1878, brings us to what date? 1948. And there Israel became a nation among the nations. And of course, you've already had some discussion from the platform on the experiences of Israel. They must experience Jacob's trouble Nevertheless, we're in the third day, and Israel is back to stay. Before Israel is driven into the sea, as we read in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, divine intervention is going to step in. In verses 2 and 3 of Zechariah 14, we read, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Then, what is the date of then? We know that it's number 10 on the chart. So you might write then for number 10. Well, that doesn't give us the year, but it's then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Actually, the Heavenly Father uses his Son. So in Matthew 24:22, we note that it's going to be the elect Christ. By then, the marriage will have taken place. The elect Christ will fight for Israel as God did in the days of old. By the way, on your chart, notice small pyramid W, and there, that represents the full union of the bride to the bridegroom. That will take place before number 10. Number 10 is the then. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight for Israel. Jacob's trouble, by the way, will be at the very close of total, complete anarchy. So you see, brethren, we do know when the earthly kingdom will be established. We don't have to know the exact hour or day or year, but we know that it will be at the conclusion of Jacob's trouble. All flesh will not be destroyed because divine intervention will step in. Concerning this full union of the bride to the bridegroom, may we turn to John, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Brother Randall, point out the date of the selection of the bride of Christ, which began in 33 A.D. That's number 4. That's small number 4, I should say, at the top. I hope I'm not confusing you with the two sets of numbers. But the number 4 would be the date when the bride began to be selected. They have been in process of being selected, a part of the 5,000-year day. Go down now to the bottom numbers. Part of the 5th, all of the 6th, and again, here early in the 7th or the 3rd day, the door to the high calling is still open. The bride is not yet complete, even though we anticipate that before too long, the full number will have been found. This marriage, this full union of the bride to the bridegroom, shown here by Pyramid W, is on the 3rd thousand-year day from the time of that marriage in Cana of Galilee. In order to practice what I preach, we note that our time is almost up. We will leave with you other scriptures, that is for your study. I won't give them to you on the 3rd day. Many of you have already made a study of this. If you haven't, take your concordance and look up all the scriptures on the 3rd day. It's a blessed study indeed. So our scripture to show the importance of this period of 1845 years of favor, then 1845 years of disfavor, is brought to our attention in Luke 2:34. Turn with me quickly to Luke 2:34. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, the mother of Jesus, Behold, this child, Jesus, is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Think of it, friends, how sure a foundation we have. Yes, the fall and rising again of many in Israel. We're on that third day now, the third thousand-year day from the first Advent. It is time to give a message of comfort to Israel. What we can do is to make our calling and election sure. As we have opportunity, we can speak a word of comfort to any of the natural descendants of Abraham we can. Let us realize that our God is not only a God of justice, but an exact timekeeper. Brother Randall and I didn't have much time to rehearse before. Maybe after our rehearsal the next time, it would be a little easier to follow. But I trust you were blessed.
Thank you, Brother George. Thank you for refreshing our hearts and minds on some very essential features of the chart of the ages and the Lord's plan that's so beautifully depicted in that plan, we believe. We'll ask Brother George to close this meeting, and then we'll have a few brief announcements, and then we'll close the convention with the use of hymn number 64.
Our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We thank Thee for the many blessings we have received at this convention. We pray Your continued blessing upon this ecclesia. We pray Your guidance and direction and blessing according to Your will upon all who have made a covenant with Thee by sacrifice throughout this world. We pray that we might be more determined to serve Thee faithfully. We pray that You will forgive us for our many shortcomings in thought, word, and deed. Overrule anything which was done or said amiss in this lesson. May we continue to rightly divide Thy word of truth. Continue with us now as we part one from another. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.